the drops that are.
You can see a mile.
It's the drops that are.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where's Fran? Is she there?
I'm here. I'm right here. Hi, Joe.
Well, how you doing, Fran?
Good. How are you?
All right.
Hi, Joe. It's Sue. She's here, too.
Hey, Sue. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
All right.
Good.
I didn't even open
okay.
That. I thought
so,
that was, like, signature.
No. This is the...
Okay, 1.0, call to order. The public hearing for Morton College School District 527 annual budget for fiscal year 21 will now come to order. 1.0, roll call. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Student advisory member Avalo.
Yep.
Marnucci.
Here.
Balcesser.
Here.
Here, Colazzo, Grigini.
Here.
Reed.
Here.
Banks.
Here.
Okay. 3.0, let the record reflect that the notice of this public hearing, as well as the availability of the tentative budget for public inspection, was published in the Berwyn Suburban Life on August 20th, 2020. Which was at least 30 days from this public hearing. I hereby submit a copy of the certificate of publication from the Berwyn Suburban Life for the record of this public hearing. Also, as required by law, the tentative budget has been available for public inspection at the college since July 1, 2020, which was at least 30 days from this public hearing. Do any members of the board have any questions or comments at this time? None? Anyone on the line? No. Okay, do any members of the public wish to comment or ask questions at this time? Okay. 5.0, is there a motion to adjourn the public hearing of the annual budget for fiscal year 21?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carried. The meeting is adjourned for the public hearing. And now we will move on to our regular board meeting. 1.0, call to order. The regular meeting of the Morton College Board of Trustees of Illinois Community College District 527 will now come to order. Executive Order Number 2020-07, extended by Executive Order Number 2020-18, provides that provisions of the Open Meeting Act 5 ILCS 120 requiring or relating to in-person attendance by members of a public body are suspended. Due to this executive order, physical quorum of the board is not required. Let the record reflect that board members will be calling in to attend the meeting. At this time, I would like to remind all individuals calling in the meeting to silence your phones to minimize the noise. 2.0 Pledge of Allegiance. Blanca is going to lead us with the
United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with justice for all.
3.0 roll call. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Student advisory member Avalo.
Present.
Marnucci.
Here.
Balcesser.
Here.
Here, Colazzo. Grigini.
Here.
Reeds.
Here.
Banks.
Here.
Okay, thank you. 4.0, on August 26, 2020, Trustee Frank Aguilar submitted a letter of resignation. In light of his resignation, is there a motion to declare a vacancy in the position of member of the Board of Trustees for Morton Community College District 527?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, will secretary please call the roll?
Avalo.
Yes.
Marnucci.
Yes.
Doncaster.
Aye.
I, Collazo, Grizzini.
Aye.
Reach.
Aye.
Reach.
Aye.
Banks.
Aye.
5.0, citizen comments, 3-minute limit. In lieu of physical attendance, public comments have been requested to be emailed to trustees@morton.edu at least 1 hour before the meeting, and any public comments received will now be read into the record. Additionally, does anyone attending via telephone wish to address the board for public comment? If so, state your name and address for the record. Each person will be allotted 3 minutes each to comment. No one submitted an email question, so anyone else on the line? Anyone in the audience?
Madam President, Ronald Lulo, LULLO, 208 Side
8. Madam Chair.
Oh, hold on.
Madam Chair, this is General Counsel Mike Delgado. I just heard Mr. Lulo step up to the podium, and while under the Open Meetings Act, he does have a right to address the board, understands that as the former HR director, he's well aware that matters of personnel are not appropriate to be discussed in public or discussed with the board. So I would recommend to the board members and President Fields and the administration not to comment, and I would admonish Mr. Lulo to limit his remarks to matters related to the agenda.
I understand that.
Thank you.
Mr. Delgado, I am still the current HR director for 90 days. I received a letter from Dr. Fields last Friday. Last month, the board approved my appointment for 2 years. This month, Dr. Fields sent me a 90-day notice not for cause, but because him and I are having disagreements. When you disagree with Dr. Fields, you reap the benefit of seeing the wrath of Dr. Fields. When I was a FOIA officer, there was information that was supposed to be released. It couldn't be released because Dr. Fields didn't want it. To ensure that, he removed me from that position. There was a time when he wanted me to write a letter to the HLC for president and other board members. I refused to do that. He told me either they would go or I would go. I guess I left. The bottom line is, if you don't subscribe to Stan Fields' comments, he gets rid of you. Remember, board, you have one employee, Stan Fields. Hold him accountable. Look at the consent agenda. If you have questions, ask about the consent agenda. Regarding today's consent agenda, there's job descriptions. Go through them. Under discussion, if you have questions, ask about them. If you can't get the answers you want tabled, you have that right. Don't be bullied and intimidated by him. You have that right as board members. More to come. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience? Okay, 6.0 recognition. Dr. Fields, I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. We are honored to recognize a faculty member today, Dr. Tula Kalikian. She recently was recognized for a dissertation with distinction award each year at Saybrook University, where she attended for her doctoral degree, chooses one outstanding doctoral dissertation from each of their schools to be awarded the Dissertation with Distinction Award. In the College of Mind-Body Medicine Specialization, Integrative Mental Health, Dr. Kalikian's dissertation titled A Case Study Evaluation of a Coaching Intervention on Academic Success with At-Risk Diverse Persons was awarded the 2020 Award for Dissertation with Distinction, so we congratulate her for this outstanding recognition. Thank you.
Okay. 7.0 reports, 7.1 ICCTA, ACCT. Anybody have any contributions? Okay, 7.2, student member Andy Avalos. Welcome.
Thank you. So on September 2nd, we had our census drive-in. Even though it was pouring that day, we still managed to hold the census drive-in and were successful in getting some students and families accounted for. September 9th, our first SGA meeting for the Student Government Association. Currently, we have moved to Zoom and are conducting our usual agenda. we've had a few organizations and clubs show up, so we expect more clubs to come join us as we begin to resurface. On September 11th, this day is a tragic moment in our history. In a moment of silence, let us remember and honor the thousands of innocent men, women, and children whose lives were stolen by terror. And let us take time to thank our first responders during unprecedented times, before and now. On September 14th and 17th, which is Constitution Day, we handed out pocket Constitution books from the 14th to the 17th in preparation for Constitution Day, and our game show hosted on September 17th. Through September 14th and through the 28th, Morton College will be holding their Latin American festivity, celebrating their Latin American diversity throughout the month. On September 24th, we have the college fair. Morton universities will visit to inform students about possible transfers and provide them with more information about the colleges and various other information. On September 30th, we have another drive-in movie, Coco. The last two drive-in movies have been a huge success, with greater attendance numbers each time we do it. Our next movie, Coco, will be celebrating Heritage Month with the community. Thank you.
Thank you. 8.0, President's Report, Dr. Fields.
Thank you, Fran. Strategic plan, Keith?
Yes, thank you. I have two updates from our strategic plan. I know it's been some months since we've provided you with an update. The strategic goal two, or rather three, is to develop new academic programs, vitalize existing programs. One of our objectives in this five-year plan was to increase the number of online course offerings. Certainly not by design, but given the impact of COVID on instructional delivery, we really have had to rapidly increase and expand our online program. But in response to this, although it's a goal of ours, we certainly didn't intend to expand it quite this quickly. The academic deans, the instructional support staff, have worked closely with faculty to ensure that we're really continuously improving our online offerings in terms of the quality of instruction and also the training that we're providing to support faculty with that. So, Derek, are you on the line?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, Dr. Derek Chauvin, to just provide an update, not only in terms of our training to support online instruction, but also he and the other deans have been doing classroom with the faculty, conducting courses online, and I think we're very pleased to hear the initial feedback of how that's going. Derek?
Yeah, I can speak on behalf of Lydia and Lori and the other departments as well. We have, and this will be mainly a qualitative update as opposed to a quantitative. I think, obviously, as Keith said, the quantitative elements are pretty clear. We went, 90-95% online as we needed to do. So that's clear. But I just wanted to, say a few minutes and maybe also tie it back into the expansion of full-time faculty. I think we really have made tremendous strides. Like other schools, students and faculty had a big transition that they needed to do back in spring when we first went online. But I'm here to say that the progress made between spring to summer to fall is tremendous. It's something I happen to have done a number of observations. Faculty observations in the last couple of weeks, and it was, I know this is a qualitative, maybe subjective analysis, but really inspiring what has happened. A lot of it has to do with the fact of the expansion of our faculty hires. We have almost a one-to-one ratio of non-tenured to tenured faculty, but we did some incredible recruiting with folks that had a lot of online experience already. So we made some great hires. As Keith said, the Teaching and Learning Center has done a great job with Mark Litwicky of training new faculty. This is our third cohort of faculty, full-time faculty and part-time faculty, participating in an incredible interactive
full course, the first time we've ever had, in how to make do interactive pedagogy. Carla and Michael Cott in the library have done outstanding work in offering a series of Blackboard workshops. So the number, the amount of training our faculty have gotten, both in the part-time and full-time faculty, is just unprecedented. They're getting good reports both from Carla and Mark about what they're seeing in the classroom in terms of their teaching, and we're also getting good reports from the faculty in terms of what they learned. So I know I can't speak too much longer. I'll just say that the teaching we're seeing is dynamic, exciting, well-structured, and folks are, you know, really doing great work. And I hope that maybe some of the board members will have a chance to actually visit an online classroom and see what great work is going on. So thank you very much, Keith.
Really nice.
Certainly we're looking forward to the day when students are returning much larger numbers to campus and having the on-campus experience. But this has really prepared us to expand our offerings for online in the future in a much more quality way. The other update is strategic goal 6 is to increase our giving and financial strength through improved development operations, which includes grant activity. We were notified by the Department of Education that our Title III grant that focuses on STEM will be continued for a second year beginning October 1st. That's approximately $450,000 for a total of $1.2 million over 5 years. And we also will be applying for a 50 grant, which is the funds for improvement of post-secondary education, also a Department of Education grant for $1.2 million, which is a 2-year grant. That concludes my report on strategic planning. Thank you.
Keith, thank you. I'm going to make a statement here that certainly for those involved, it goes without saying, if you have children at home, minor children at home that are enjoying learning remotely, this is quite a challenge. When I joined the college 4.5 years ago, many if not all of you know I came from a district that was very, very sophisticated with technology. We've been recognized nationwide. And I can tell you, because I live with one of the teachers, it is really, really taxing, even on a school district who has been a leader in this area for a number of years. So Keith and Derek and all of the academic team, as well as our faculty, both full and part-time, we really appreciate the efforts that you've made to ensure that our students are successful. At the end of the day, the goal is to get them across the line, certificate, transfer, 2-year degree. So, Keith, great job. Marisol?
Right here, so you can hear me better because I know this mask is not a great thing to talk through. But I hope you're having a wonderful week. I'm going to talk to you about, as we usually do every month, about the strategic enrollment report. And one of the things is that even though last month you heard me talk about the summer and fall enrollment, guess what? Spring 2021 semester is right around the corner. The spring semester starts in January 14, 2021, so we are preparing to start the semester. But there's one specific initiative that I want to talk to you all about today, and that we're really excited to be rolling out this spring semester, which is one of our biggest enrollment initiatives that we're rolling out. So before I do share this initiative with you, I want to share some information so that way you understand why this initiative is needed and what is guiding our decisions, okay? So first, we know that our students face many, many challenges, right? One of the challenges that we know that they face is finances. And this study confirms that. A study of community college students surveyed what are the top 10 students face towards their student success. The top two things that they identified were work and paying expenses, right? And obviously, those kind of go hand in hand. In order to pay your expenses, you need to work. And expenses could be life expenses as well as tuition, fees, and all of that. So we recognize that our students have issues with pain in school, right? So when we know that, we have identified already one of those challenges that keeps them from enrolling or from continuing in the college. So we recognize that, and we need to, so now that we know a problem, we need to do something about it, right? You can't have a problem without knowing what the problem is. So I'm really, really excited to share with you that this spring semester, for the first time ever, we are rolling out an initiative that we titled the Panther Balance Forgiveness Grant. So we're going to be forgiving the balances of our students if they have a balance from the previous semesters, fall or summer 2020, and if their goal is to enroll for the spring 2020 semester. Our goal, you've heard me say it before, is always to increase enrollment by 2%, right? To increase our graduation rate by 2.2%, right? So this program is going to help us get there. A, I said, what's the challenge? Finances, right? This is going to help us with finances. One of the things that we continue to do with the college is that prior to COVID, we did drop students for non-payment if they didn't pay for their classes prior to the deadline, right? So that identified to us that they were having issues securing that money. Time and time again, we keep on hearing our students say that they're not able to enroll in school because they didn't know if they were going to have classes. They didn't know what their savings looked like. They didn't know if they were going to have work. So when you don't know if you're going to have work, if you don't know what your savings look like, you can't enroll, right? Also, some of our students have previous balances. When a student has a previous balance, what happens? They can't enroll in the class. They have to pay that balance before they enroll in their next semester. So with this grant initiative, they're going to be able to apply for this grant to prevent them from stopping to coming to the college, right? So our goal is obviously to prevent students from dropping out or from stopping to come to their college. So the goal is to remove that financial barrier for our students so that way they can enroll very easily. We know that there's a 30% likelihood of our students that that step out of the Morton College that they're not going to return. And that number, 30%, is something that we cannot afford in our community and for our college, right? So keep that in mind. The qualification for students is very simple. The student has to be very close to completing their degree. They have to be in good standing. They have to be a first-generation low-income student in order to qualify for the grant. Again, the grant is up to $500, and that's a significant amount of money for our students. So if they have a previous balance, again, from the fall or summer semester, and they want to enroll in the spring 2021, they're going to be able to qualify for this initiative. This initiative, the funds come through a third tax for the Governor's Emergency Educational Relief Fund. We're going to be issuing close to $235,000 to forgive students' balance. Can I say that again? $235,000 to forgive student balances. And that's great news for our students. That's really going to be transformational for our students. And I'm so proud that we're going to be able to roll this out for the spring 2021. That's my report. Any questions?
That's all great news.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
Blanca?
Yes. I'm going to have Irina Klein, our Director of Continuing Education, update you on what's been happening in our continuing school year.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to highlight this new program that Community and Continuing Education offered in the summer and fall. This summer, we offer two youth programs. Current situation, they were offered in a virtual format free of charge. Immers Camp, which is a program for young learners aged 6 to 12, was offering STEM components and programs. Students were encouraged to use the supplies easily accessible at home. Participated in a project such as starting a garden at home, salt and chalk experiment, object improv, and emotional charade. For the 3 weeks that the program has been offered, we had 222 enrollments, with an average enrollment of 74 students per week. The second program, Youth Leadership Initiative, is a new pilot for young learners ages 13 to 17. We offer it in a partnership with Toastmaster International.
The students were focusing on public speaking, leadership skills development in the formal meeting setting. Out of the 20 available spots, students took 16 spots. On September 1st, Community and Continuing Education Program coordinated census drive-through events. For this, we partnered with Census Bureau and family-focused community-based organizations. The goal of this event was to support national initiatives and offer questionnaire assistance to Morton College students, faculty, and community members. It was in-person, outdoor event, and those who completed the questionnaire received Morton College goodies. Additionally, Morton College participates in Cicero Census Caravan led by Jim O'Connell, and that initiative takes place every Thursday in the morning through the month of September. Lastly, I would like to highlight our new pilot program, Commercial Driver's License, or CDL program, that we offer this fall. The program is coordinated in a partnership with All Pro Truck Driving School. We offer monthly courses for AM and PM programs with a maximum student enrollment of 8 students. The program that begins on October 5th is close to capacity. We have only one spot available. The flyer received overwhelming response from the community. For example, on social media, this flyer received over 10,000 hits. The CDL program is one of the examples of our robust community and continuing education program offering. This year, the program has demonstrated 300% increase in student enrollment, and we begin seeing the return on our investment in this department. I'm delighted to share more updates on our program offerings in my next presentation.
Irina, congratulations. Great job with that CDL program. I think most of you may remember that this was first an idea that former trustee Aguilar had. And Irina, I appreciate you following up with it and then working with the academic staff to embed this in our program going forward. That's great news that you only got one seat left.
I know. Thank you. I appreciate it. We can discuss it further later.
Okay.
I know President Fields, I know in private trucking school subsidies at $1,000 for this program for participants. I know that's going to be quite a bit less financial burden on the city.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. Today I will be going over the annual budget for fiscal year 2021. I took out a few slides from the full report, which is on the table, so I want to glance through it or review it. First, we're going to be reviewing the operating fund's revenues. Remember that the operating fund includes the education fund and the operation and maintenance fund, which are the biggest two funds. They make up about 50% of the total budget for the college. Our three main sources of revenue, local support, which is your property tax, state support, the state grants that we get, and tuition and fees. If you notice with the pie chart, 30% is property tax support. State support is at 30% as well, and tuition and fees is at 38%. If we compare these revenues against FY20, you do see a decrease in tuition and fees. Our budget went down 5%, and due to COVID, we did recognize that we were going to, or we expected a decrease in enrollment for FY21. tuition for FY21, and we also have an increase in the nursing program that did allow us to have a bigger revenue for FY21. So you notice tuition and fees was 41% for FY20. This year it's only 38%. We are having a bigger support from the state, but that's a 2% increase. That's not too much. Moving on to the expenditures, this is the expenditure again for operating and maintenance fund and the education fund. If you see, salaries make up 55% of the total budget, followed by contractual services, materials and supplies, and so on. There is the comparison from FY20 to FY21. If you notice, salaries and benefits had a 10% decrease. That's mainly due to the transfer of some of the salaries from these two funds into the Liability and Protection Fund. So that's why you see that 10% decrease. We are going to shift those salaries and benefits for FY21, and FY22 we'll move them back to Education and Operation and Maintenance Fund. Again, a comparison for salaries and benefits. Last year was 63%. This year is 5%. Mainly that shift in salaries and benefits. If we look at expenditures by programs, these are our main programs: instruction, academic support, student service, and so on. If you notice, instruction makes up the biggest portion of budget for by program. That also went down by 11%, again, due to that shift in salaries and benefits. This is the education fund alone, just a comparison from FY20 to FY21. Again, some shifts in salaries and benefits there. Overall, you see we had a 5% decrease for the education fund. This is operation and maintenance alone, comparison FY20 to FY21. A lot of the salaries and benefits were shifted from O&M to the Liability and Protection Fund, so that's why you see that 46% decrease. Again, for FY22, we'll move them back to O&M, so next year you will see a huge increase, and that's the reason why. Here are all of our funds. So first one, Education Fund, Operation and Maintenance. Then the smaller funds, which are our restricted purpose, that's where we hold all of our grants. The audit fund, that's where we pay the external audit every year. Liability and protection fund, and then our bond fund. If you notice that all of the funds are in balance, with the exception of the liability and protection fund, that's at a negative $1.5 million because we are going to use that fund balance to support the salaries and benefits because there was no other way of transferring those out. Those funds were just sitting there. Overall, it's a balanced budget. A few projects that will be going on for FY21 under education fund. We are funding welding equipment for the new welding lab, nutrition center equipment, and then new building E equipment. From the operation and maintenance fund, we're replacing an HVAC unit. We're updating our purchasing maintenance vehicles, a tractor, some upgrades, theater equipment, and then some sports field renovations. This is operation and maintenance restricted. We did receive a capital development grant, $4.6 million, and that's going to be used for exterior upgrades and walkways. There is a matching of 20%, so we will fund the $1.8 million. We will be completing the projects that were funded through the bond from 2019. So we'll be completing the stair railway replacements, computer upgrade, but then the toilet room and then we did give a capital development grant for ADA upgrades and building needs. Any questions? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is that complete? That's the report. Frank, that completes the program.
Okay. Approval of the consent agenda. Board members, please review the consent agenda. Is everyone still on the line? Sue, are you still on the line?
I'm still on, yeah.
Oh, Sue Banks, are you still on the line?
Chair, I'd like to request that we pull 9.9 board policy 4.1 from the consent agenda, and I'd like to table that. The policies regarding employment here at the college are confusing at best in terms of who's responsible for approving and when does the board just receive as information only. So what we've done over the last several months is
to find out what's going on. We have the fire alarm going off.
What's going on? What's going on?
I don't know. The fire alarm just went off.
Oh, boy.
When Stan says 9.9, when I look here, it's different than what Stan's saying.
No, it's 9.9. That's it. You're looking at, those are the minutes from the last meeting. Here's another copy here.
Thank you.
Wait.
I don't want to be comparing apples to oranges.
Well, that's the hearing.
Okay. I'll find it in this packet then. It should be in this packet,
right here,
right?
And I guess we're okay.
Yeah, well, he's talking about 9.9, and I just
right here.
Yeah, but this is not the 9.9
you
mentioned.
Those are the ones from last week.
Yeah.
So we got an off there?
Thank you.
Are we okay? Are you guys on the line still?
Yes. Yeah.
Jose?
Yes, I'm here.
Tony, are you there?
Yes, I am, Fran.
Joe, are you there?
Yes.
Susan, are you there? Susan Banks?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right, we'll continue. So 9.0, approval of the consent agenda.
I'm requesting that we pull 9.9. We still have some work to do in-house with the law firm. Our goal is to get where the board approves all employment, whether it's full or part-time, and the board approves all terminated employment, full or part-time. Now, understand that with the termination, if someone resigns or retires, there's limited authority that the board has, and Mike could possibly weigh in on that at a future date. But nevertheless, the language in our policies is confusing from different sections. So there's a section in the second chapter where it talks about the president's responsibilities, and what we want to do is ensure that all authority related to employment is consistent, and it's consistent that the board must approve. Okay? That's what we're working towards.
I was looking on the Illinois ILGA.gov website because that's where this board policy is cited. And even in there, it's confusing because it lays out exactly, you know, by statute what the board is supposed to be responsible for. So that's what I was going to ask to pull it, too, because it's not even clear on that.
Again, you will note from agendas over the last several months and minutes, what we've done is just pushed everything into your approval. And that way we wouldn't make a mistake on just giving you something that was information only that required your approval.
Okay, so 9.0, right now we have agenda item 9.9 being...
Attention, attention. Be advised, we have the fire alarm accidentally activated in the A and B building. Fire alarm accidentally activated in the A and B building. Everything is okay.
Okay, so consent agenda item 9.9 is being removed and... We'll take it up later. So do I have a motion to establish a consent agenda to include the following items as amended, which includes items 9.1 to 9.26.2 with 9.9 being removed?
So moved.
Second. Are there any questions? Okay, Secretary, call the roll. And this is just for establishing the consent agenda as amended. Then we're going to go to the vote, the next roll call. If you could do roll call on the amended acceptance of the agenda.
Sure. Student Varji, member Avalo.
Aye.
Marinucci.
Aye.
Balcaster.
Aye.
Aye, Collazo. Gazzini.
Aye.
Reach.
Aye.
Thanks.
Aye.
Okay, do I have a motion now to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
So moved. Second.
Can I have the roll call, please?
Sure. Avalo?
Here.
Marinucci?
Aye.
Balcaster?
Aye.
Aye, Collazo. Grigini?
Aye.
Reach.
Aye.
Thanks.
Aye.
Okay. Any other comments on the consent at all?
Go ahead.
Okay. So 10.0, motion to appoint an individual.
Do you want to handle 9.9 first? I'm sorry.
Oh, 9.9?
And we simply need a table.
Yeah, so we're going to have a motion. I'll make a motion to table 9.9 to take it up at a later time. Is that correct language, Counselor, on the line?
Yes, it's just simply a motion to table, which needs a second and a roll call vote.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to table 9.9. Could I get a second?
Second.
Second.
Do we have a roll call, please?
Avalo?
Aye.
Marinucci?
Aye.
Balcaster?
Aye.
Aye, Collazo. Grigini?
Aye.
Reach?
Aye.
Thanks.
Aye.
Okay, 10.0. Motion to appoint an individual to fill the vacancy for position of member of the Board of Trustees for Lorton Community College District 527. Before we ask for any motions, I just wanted to state for the record that I don't know if it was a clerical error or what happened, but I personally did not see any resumes or any letters of interest until just now, which is kind of hard to be reading and handling the meeting. So I'm just stating that for the record.
Dr. Fields, this is Tony. We had the two. Was there any others that came in later or anything else?
No, sir.
I'd like to I would like to nominate Oscar Mantel, lifelong Cicero resident, has run the Cicero Boys Club as a director for a number of years, Morton East graduate, and lifelong Cicero resident. Last before I left, I saw that there was only two. I'd like to nominate. Is it, and Dr. Fields, again, is this the same procedure that we've done last time?
Yep.
Okay, I'd like to nominate Oscar. I think he's a fine young man and would be great for the board.
Second.
Okay, before we go to roll call, I just wanted to, Sue, are you still on the line? Sue Banks?
Yes.
Okay. But did you get any copies of the resumes or anything?
No.
Because I know you're on the
phone.
No. No? Okay.
No.
I know.
I didn't see anything.
Okay. All right. Will the secretary please call the roll?
Avalo?
Aye.
Marinucci?
Aye.
Valcaster?
Aye.
Iacolazzo, Grazzini?
No.
Reach.
I looking at his resume briefly, seems like a wonderful person, but I think he has to be properly vetted. So I have to say no, I'm sorry. Right now. Maybe we could put it out for a week so we could look at this.
Right. That's my feeling.
I mean,
he does look good.
Yeah, he looks very good. But you know,
we just got it and Sue Banks and he's
see on
it.
I know. And this person's here to join the board, so okay, so Grazzini was a no, I'm a no. I don't know where you left off after me.
Banks.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say no until I see it, and I'm sorry, I haven't seen anything. I take your word for it, but I haven't seen anything, so I'll vote no at this time.
Okay, so what I suggest is that we get copies of the two interested parties to all the board members, and maybe we could call a special meeting to review it, discuss it, and then put it off for maybe a week.
Let me know what you want to do.
Okay. Okay. So the motion failed because it's a 3-3. Do we have any other motions? Anybody else want to recommend the other person? I don't know who it is. Okay. Any questions? Did you guys hear that on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah,
excellent. Yep.
Okay, so 11.0, is there a motion to adjourn this interesting meeting of the board? Okay, Sue Grazzini is making a motion to adjourn. I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carried. Next meeting is October 28th, 11 a.m., and then be in touch for a follow-up with the appointment for this vacancy. Thank you, everyone. Stay safe.
See you later.